Hello and welcome back to the Dual Screens podcast, the world's number one indie game dev interview show ever. Probably not likely. We hope so it is. Joining us this week is Peter Tuff, the developer of Godstone. I love that name. A roguelike dungeon crawler in which you take the role of five different sorcerers to uncover the ancient Godstone, an instrument said to hold immense dark power. Peter, yes. Welcome to the show. How's it going, buddy?
Thank you. It's going really great.
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying the weekend right now, mm-hmm. taking like a little relaxed day, and then mm-hmm. I'm going to head back into a new week of both studies and game development, because I'm both a student at the Dania Games Academy here in Denmark, but I'm also working on my own game at the side. So it's a bit like two jobs at the same time.
So for those who don't know, we spoke prior to recording. Peter is a baby. He's a child.
Yes.
I am like 20 years older than he is. and he's living the life I wish I had when I was his age. And this is also his first podcast, which I am very excited about and yes. also deeply apologetic for. So before we dive into Godstone, which looks and sounds and plays incredibly, demo out now on Steam, listeners, so check that out as soon as you possibly
that
can.
Too. Please watch this.
You've been making games since you were 13 years old in our discussion prior to slapping the old yes. record button. So I kind of want to get into that a little bit before we go into the game itself. What pulled you into this industry? What made you want to develop games and pursue that as a career path?
Since I was very little, I always played games. I'm an absolute nerd. I always have been. And one of the biggest drives I had was a bit classic, you know, but I always went down to my parents and told them that, hey, mom and dad, when I grow up, I want to work for Blizzard and I want to make like the next Warcraft and stuff like that. We played a lot of Warcraft, a lot. Warcraft 2 was my childhood. So mm-hmm. that kind of like ignited the drive to make games. And I ended up searching online by myself how to make these games. And I ended up finding Game Maker. Mm-hmm. And back then, Game Maker was a lot like the same. Game Maker 1, it has a Game Maker 2 now. But the fortunate thing about Game Maker was it was designed to let new people learn how to develop games fairly easy. And it had a lot of YouTube tutorials. So first time I picked Game Maker up was like, I was not that old. I think I was around that 12, 13 years old. Mm-hmm. I made one sprite after figuring out how to do it and what buttons to press. It was like the very beginning. I made one sprite and then I gave up and I never touched it again. A while later, there's like this little spark again emerged and I got into Game Maker somewhat for real again, and I started making like small games, and I really, really liked it. Mm-hmm. Every game sucked, and I trashed every game I made for
perfection.
Years. But it still taught me something, you know. Mm-hmm. And finally, one day, I couldn't really understand. Hey, why do I have no space on my PC left? And I ended up searching through all my folders and I found this folder and it had like over 100 unfinished projects that I have started like over the course of
over 100 years.
Over 100, and it was like a ton of gigabytes. It was like a realization, okay, I should probably actually also finish what I start, you know, that could help. And I ended up making Godstone, or started working on it. And in the beginning, it was called The Masters of Eptora, until I found out that nobody could remember the name because it's long and it's weird.
I've already forgotten it.
Yeah, exactly, precisely. So I had to come up with like a little
just a bunch of words. You made some
precisely,
sounds.
and nothing says anything. Okay, we have some masters. We have something called the Torah. I don't know what that is. I don't even know if I, at that point, even knew myself. It's not even in the game.
I'm curious as to what these 100 game ideas were that were just unfinished. Like, were they like completely different kinds of games and genres, or were you just like different iterations of the same idea? Because to me, having 100 different game ideas just hanging around in your back pocket.
I mean,
Give me some of them. No, I'm curious.
Yeah,
what were some
sure,
of the ideas
like,
that are hanging
all
out?
All of them had this. All of them had like the same theme. It was all mostly always fantasy. You probably with 50% of them, you played as a wizard in some way. Like
love it.
Always the iteration of the wizard. And I think it's also like a theme that has followed along into Godstone, because you also play as a kind of wizards. I had like Diablo inspired roguelike games, also inspired from The Binding of Isaac, for example, which I ended up playing a lot. I also had some games that I actually finished, and one of them were like this weird sci-fi game where you came from the left side and you had to shoot everything coming from the right side, and all the code was terrible. It was terrible, every single speck of it. But it worked.
Are you still using GameMaker now for your current
I
project?
Actually am, yeah.
It's wow.
Like
it's a very good little tool, isn't it? It's very versatile.
It
can get shit done.
It can, and it has a lot of add-ons. Unfortunately, it also comes with a kind of a bad reputation, which is not justified in my opinion. It has a lot of great tools. It has a lot of great guides, and you can make any kind of 2D game that you want ish. Of course, limitations to it, but still, you know, and it's just nice. But whenever, you know, you say, oh, I make games, people are like, oh, cool. What engine do you use? And they'll be like, oh, I use Game Maker.
then they stop
just
taking you seriously.
Exactly. Just,
but listen,
you know it's coming.
You can always point to, listen, I've always pointed to games like Hyper Light Drifter was made entirely in Game Maker. That's
exactly.
Like, and look where that studio is today. And they started with Game Maker. So I wouldn't poo-poo on that. Tell your friends that they're asses and they don't know what they're talking about.
And it's just the same thing with Undertale, for example. Like,
yeah,
huge success, and it's made in Game Maker.
let's dive into the depths of Godstone. We learned a little bit of how it came to be with your 10 million projects that were never finished. I'm curious to see why someone that, because you're fairly younger than I am, so you didn't really grow up in an era where 8-bit and 16-bit games were like the thing.
No.
I think we were moving towards more 3D polygons, you know, PS1 graphics at that point when you were, you know, being bored in the world. Why did you settle on this specific art style, this 2D sprite based? Is it because it lends itself more to the Game Maker engine, or you wanted this for a different reason entirely?
It's I think it's a little bit of a childhood thing. My graphics are very inspired by the old school style. It's kind of gritty in some areas, and it's all around this old RPG genre vibe around it. And I guess it's just because those are the games I always played when I was a kid, and they have always driven me. And that's like, when it comes to high resolution 3D games where everything looks completely realistic, I'm just not attracted to it. It's
really?
Just not. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, they'd be like, oh my gosh, these are the best graphics ever, and it's so realistic. And I'm just sitting there like, but this pixel game with like characters that only have 8 pixels, look at it, you know?
And the gameplay is so much better.
Yeah, I'm just so much more drawn to pixel art for some reason. And I think it's kind of like the nostalgia that I feel because I played those games.
It's an art form too. You can't escape it. I feel it's a timeless expression in the gaming sphere. And I really like that, you know, younger folks like you are still embracing the roots of gaming, like where it all came from, with basic 2D pixel art, and you're not letting it go. And your game looks bonkers. Like, it is a pixel lover's dream come true. It looks insane. Tell us more about what's going on in this game. What's the gameplay like in Godstone? What are we doing in this little dungeon crawler of yours?
So basically, the game is this fighting-focused game where you can use various kinds of spells, with more spells coming to the game. Right now, there are like Fire and Frost and a dark magic called Neferon, which you can use to obliterate enemies. And there will be boss fights, and these boss fights will be inspired by, for example, Dark Souls. Like, the way they have made these bosses is something that I have drawn a lot into. And then I have also tried to draw some inspiration from, for example, some of my childhood games, which are Diablo, and we also have some elements from Path of Exile and Grim Dawn, where we have these items and you make like a teeny tiny build. And it's a tiny build because it's a roguelike. So I don't want you to spend a ton of time making a huge build and then you die and you lose everything. There will be a permanent progression. There will be this skill tree where when you die, you will get points or some kind of currency to spend in this tree to permanently upgrade your characters. And in that way, you can make a pretty nice build. But not lose it, or at least all of it, when you die, you know? So you get 5 items you can find, and these items are focused a lot on different kinds of resistances, different kind of damage types. And so we also have this combo system where you can set a you can chill an enemy, for example, and then you cast another spell that inflicts extra damage on enemies that are chilled. You also have things like combining frost and fire together, and then you get even bigger effects. So you can so you get a lot of freedom to make different kinds of builds. Yeah,
I like that.
It's pretty satisfying, at least in my opinion.
Like, listen, if I could have like a career path, if Wizard was a job that someone could train and do, I would do that. Any game involving casting spells or magic, I'm immediately drawn to. And when I saw that this game has like 5 different sorcerers, it's all spell based combat, and the pixel art, and it's a roguelike. I was like, can I have it now? Is it done? Is it ready?
I mean, technically you can. There's a demo. And technically it's
not
is
enough, dude. It's not enough.
It's not enough. I mean, I'm working on it. And I'm definitely crossing my fingers that it's gonna come out by the end of this year because I want to finish this game. And
yes, you should finish a game out of the 100 you've started.
A game. It shall not be added to my giant folder.
what are the kind of challenges you face with making a roguelike? Because there's a lot of competition out there in the genre, and it seems like more than ever it's a more popular gameplay style for developers to focus on and adapt and include in their games. How do you make yours stand out amongst the thousands of others that are out there just hanging around with more realistic graphics?
I mean, it's such a difficult question because you need this kind of hook, and it's difficult to know if you got a hook until the game kind of comes out and it has been played by people and they feel like it has this hook. I have experienced a lot of people saying, I'm actually not very much into this genre, but this game is actually really fun and I'm sold on it and I actually want this game. So that's kind of encouraging and a good indicator that maybe there is something to this game.
Yeah, that's like the Hades effect, where a lot of folks, I think, didn't exactly. know about the genre too much, but yeah. just love the presentation and the art style and the world and
Precisely.
the gameplay aspects. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of were like unknowingly turned into roguelike fans when they played that game for the first time.
Yeah. And it was like Hades draws from a lot of already existing elements, mm-hmm. and it draws from genres that already exist. It takes what already exists, mixes it together in a new way, and just delivers it really, really well. And you don't have to reinvent the next big genre for a game. You just have to mix things together, make something that's just, you know, a little bit unique, and make it really good. Give it good gameplay. It's probably the most important part. So yeah, I have been told multiple times that on social media, when people see a post of my game, they instantly recognize that it's from my game. So that's a benefit I have, that my graphics are, according to other people, pretty unique and very recognizable. I get that told, especially on Reddit, for example. So that's also a really good indicator.
It's the Godstone guy.
Exactly. So nice. I'm also known as the frog guy. I made like these posts about frogs.
Frog?
I added frogs to the game and people just freaking loved them. And they're like, can you pet the frog? And I was like, yes, you can.
Can you lick the frog? I think that's the more important question. And you can have some effects if you lick specific frogs. You can get some stat boosts or some like some debuffs. Now see, now we're designing and we're making your game.
Yeah, I will totally add that.
Better or worse, I'm not sure. After you beat a boss, you get to lick one frog and you can either get a good buff or a bad buff. Take a chance.
That could be so good. So weird, but so good.
Where did the frogs come from? Why did you go with frogs? It seems very specific.
It's a jungle area that you're in, and there's a lot of swampy, foresty, watery, muddy areas. Uh-huh. So it just seems fitting, you know?
Frogs. Why not? Are you handling like all? Are you doing all of the artwork yourself? Is this all you? Are you a solo dev, one man team? This entire project.
This is all me. Yeah, this Holy is everything is made by me. Also, the music and the sound, and of course, the art and programming, and so on and so forth, for better or worse. Yeah.
I just love how at the beginning you started off saying how you drew a pixel art and it was shite. And now, like, this game, I wouldn't imagine a game that looks like this that came from someone that said, I can't do pixel art for dick. And here we are, drawing frogs and making a unique art style that people recognize and they know it's you when they see it.
My art style and art skills have definitely grown since I first started. And also very recently, actually, something has happened and my art has really improved, and it's very visible from the first area to the second area that is now made in the game. Not fully done, but you know, it works. And there's like a huge gap in the visuals between those two, and you can clearly see that development.
How did you know that this was the game that you wanted to invest your time and effort, and I would imagine also money, because it's on Steam page, that takes a little bit of financial backing. So like, how, when did it click for you that this was the one that you wanted to focus on and put your efforts into and make it like your first big splash, your first finished game?
Well, bringing it back to the wizard thing, that has definitely always been a genre that I've been sold by. So that's one of them. The other one is I've always made like roguelike games. So that's also a genre that I really enjoy. And it's easy to make. Because it gives a lot of replayability for way less work, you know? Like if you had to make a linear story that people only play through once, that would leave a lot more work for a shorter playtime, you know? So it's like, it's not easy to make, but it's an easy way to add replayability-ish.
Right. You can do more with less in a roguelike than you can with a standard.
Exactly. Precisely.
Linear. Yeah.
Yeah. I also chose to make it a platformer game specifically because it's so much easier to animate. It takes way less sprites because you just need to make one and then just flip it instead of making it like 4 to 8 different directions. Oh God, you know? So yeah, that definitely makes it way easier.
How long does like a typical run last? What does the start to finish look like in this game?
Right now in the first area, it takes about 15 minutes to half an hour to complete the first area. For me personally, it takes between 10 to 15 minutes. And for new players, it can take a little longer because they need to get used to the controls and stuff like that. The full game will probably take about an hour to complete, like a full run. Maybe 1.5 hours, depending on how much you choose to go through, because there will be these voluntary dungeons that you can go into in order to get other items, more powerful items, and also currency for the skill tree in order to get even stronger permanently. So it varies.
I love that. I love that when a game is short enough where I can finish it in maybe a sitting or two, and then I want to jump back immediately after finishing it. Like when I first finished Returnal, one of my favorite roguelikes of all time, I think I just went back in because I was so hooked on that gameplay loop.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And this game, when I'm playing the demo, it has that similar kind of vibe of it where I know it's going to get its hooks in me because it has a very addictive nature. So thank you and fuck you at the same time.
Yeah.
When do you think, now you said you're aiming for this year for this game to come out.
Yes.
What do you think would stand in your way of it not coming out this year? Because is it more just more polish you need to add? How much of the game is complete at this point? Because we got some months left in the year. We're still early on. But you must have some sort of like internal in your brain a release date or a window at least.
Yes. For a specific date, not really. Just by the end of the year.
Okay.
You know, the moment it's kind of ready, I can say, okay, I will set a release date now. I'm really careful with setting these deadlines and dates because I don't want to disappoint anyone. So when the game is ready-ish, then I will make the release date and then, you know, I will put it out there. And I am definitely crossing my fingers it's by the end of this year.
I'm just super eager to play the full game at this point, so don't mind me.
That is really nice. I'm happy to
How close to ready-ish is the game?
Well, right now, the game, the base game is done. All the UI, all the menus, all the first area, the entire script for the enemies and all that stuff, it's done. It's just a copy paste moment right now where when I make a new enemy, I'll just copy paste it from another enemy and do something to it that makes it unique, but not too much because that will just add too much work. I have almost finished the second area. It only needs a bit of polish, a little bit of bug fixing, and the final animations for the enemies. And then the final third area, where you will face the final boss, of course, because it's a roguelike. And I mean, that's basically it for the base game. We have the skill tree that I also need to make, and I'm already working on it. All the visuals for it are already done. So, you know, it's just like putting all of these pieces of the puzzle that I have already made together. And that's about it. So it's not that much that remains.
Let's go a little bit into the the gameplay. We touched on it earlier. The worst synergies come up a lot in roguelikes and builds. Go through some of your favorite little tiny builds that you may come across in a game like this. Give us some examples of the things we can expect.
So, for example, I am a big fan of the frost-fire kind of synergy that you can make in the game, where you take the frost and the debuff it gives a chill debuff, and you take fire, it gives this burn debuff. And then there are items that say, okay, when you have chilled enemy that is also burning at the same time, something happens. And one of those things can be that it explodes, and that explosion causes like missiles to pop out of it and explode otherwhere. So it has this exactly, and it's very destructive, and it's so satisfying. And in that way, you can make some really, really, satisfying effects. There's also the super items for the game are crowns, for example, and those are the ones that has the biggest effects. And you want to, as much as possible, shape your build around the crown, because that is the thing that triggers the strongest effects based on your other items and spells. One of those is a crown that, when a chilled enemy dies, it just explodes in these icy spikes that just spread across the entire room, depending on how much range you have, and it damages and chills other enemies. And if it successfully kills another enemy, it also chills them, which causes another explosion of these ice spikes. So it's just like a complete wave of
just a chain reaction of icy death spikes.
Exactly. And in that way, it's so broken right now. It definitely needs to be nerfed. But you know, you get the idea. You can make some really destructive and pretty satisfying effects.
Well, on that note of things being broken and nerfed, what is the difficulty like? I mean, again, for a roguelike, the genre itself, I feel there's a certain level of difficulty you want to have, because you want to push people to find the right build and the right synergies to make sure that they are making the most of their run. How do you balance the difficulty and the abilities? What's your approach to that?
It is very difficult to balance. It requires so much playtesting. It's insane. Fortunately, I have people to playtest it. So that's definitely my number one approach. We have found a bunch of very overpowered combinations you can make because certain items that are very broken. So that's like you get a really good idea of what is broken in the game and needs to be balanced, but especially when you move to a higher difficulty. I have this difficulty called Insanity, where inspired from a lot of games like Diablo, Path of the Exile, Grim Dawn, those three especially, like enemies that have special effects on them. It can be difficult to balance that out because it's random if they get this effect. So not only do you need to balance the entire, okay, are certain combinations of items overpowered, you also need to check, okay, are certain combinations of enemies with special effects overpowered to the player? And do they even have a chance to defeat them, you know? Because it can give some very sour tastes in the mouth if they just die and they feel like, okay, there was nothing I could do about that. Something I want to do, inspired by games such as Celeste, is to add some more inclusivity in these difficulties. So I want to add a lot of freedom to those who choose to play the game. So if you want to play on a difficulty that suits what you want to play, you will be able to manipulate the difficulty a lot. You will be able to choose, okay, how much damage will enemies give? How much damage do you give? Yes, do you get any bonuses and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, Dead Cells has that too, I believe. You can modify like the percentage of damage and like against enemies and what they do to you, which is nice. Precisely. When you just want to just go hog wild and be a god for like a run. because you've had it.
Exactly.
Because you're tired. You're tired of sucking for a little bit.
Exactly. And also, like, if you, like, I have experienced a bunch of people who have had difficulties with platforming, and I was like thinking, I can make a setting that makes platforming more accessible to these people. Like, I do have Coyote Timing. What's that called? I don't remember.
Coyote?
But, you know, Coyote. It's called Coyote Jumping. It's like, I've
never heard this expression before. Coyote Jumping.
No, never?
No.
It's so good. All games have it, all platforming at least. For example, when you look at Celeste, it has this Coyote Time that originates from the old cartoons with, I don't remember the name of it, but the bird and the coyote.
The Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
Yes, I think. Yeah.
He's always trying to eat the...
Exactly. Beep, beep. And, and the name originates from that, because when you come out like over a cliff, you know, the coyote always has this amount of time where he's just in the air and he has time to jump again and move back. Yes, exactly. Okay. That's something could be, for example, enhanced. Yeah. Coyote time.
I've never heard that before.
It's like it's not a thing people really hear a lot. It's just there, you know. it's a little quality of life thing that could be cool to modify if you need it.
I mean, you play a lot of roguelikes, I imagine.
I do, yes.
It's what led you to probably make this. How difficult is it to keep all of that influence from impacting your design? Because I would imagine you're trying to make your own spin on things, make it like it's your take on the roguelike. But when there's so much coming at you from so many amazing games, it's like, oh, I should have done that, or I could do it like they did. How do you keep those from like interfering with the development process too much? Because you want some inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. You want like inspiration, but you don't want to change your entire game based on, oh my gosh, this cool game did that, because the next game you're going to play, you're going to have the exact same experience. So whatever you do, don't do that. So I'm really trying not to. And the biggest, and also bringing back to if I can make it to by the end of this year, like the biggest blockage to do that is probably myself, because I have this habit of continuing to add more to it, and it needs more polish, and you know, but the most important thing is just to get it out there, even if it's not perfect, because it's not gonna be perfect. There'll always be something you can improve. So and especially also with what you just mentioned, there will always be more ideas, and it's just so dangerous to keep adding more. And
scope creep.
Just because another game has it, you know? And there's this phrase I love that's like called kill your darling, which is if you have... Yeah, exactly. If you love something...
I've heard of this phrase. Work. Not Coyote Jumping, but I've heard of this phrase.
Seriously. And it's an amazing phrase. It hurts so much, but you really need to kill your ideas if they just don't work. Don't force them in there, because it's not gonna be great.
And well, yeah. on that note, I mean, you know, you have your sort of end of year internal deadline to get this out there. Do you see yourself working on this past, like, let's say you get it out, can you build on it with like expansions or DLC?
Yes.
Have you thought about things like that for post-launch content?
A lot. Mm-hmm. And every single time I stop myself from doing it right away. I have a lot of ideas and I have a lot of stuff planned, which adds more replayability, more choices as well. Mm-hmm. Right now it's a lot from the left to right. In the second area, there will be a bunch of optional dungeons, 3 in total in each run. Like tiny dungeons, always has a mini boss in the end, stuff like that. But I had to stop myself from making even more after that and wait with it for a DLC because otherwise I'm never gonna finish, and I have to finish.
Man, it's a wonder to me how people with talent can even finish a game, because if I had the ability to make a game like with the coding and the art pieces of it, which I possess no skill for whatsoever, I think I would just constantly be thinking of new things to make it better, and I would just never have a game. I just have a pile of ideas that never went anywhere.
Exactly.
That just sounds good in theory. That to me is the best game in my own brain, but it would never be a game.
And I was like, you need to have this red line, and you need to focus on everything needs to be centered around the same theme. And if you try to focus on everything, chances are it's not gonna be that great.
Focus and I don't get along too well, Peter. So we're not good friends. I have a focus issue.
My condolences.
This is the most focused I'll be all day, is talking to you. Oh, after that, it's over.
It's just a blur.
Well, it all sounds very exciting. I mean, again, the game looks amazing. Everyone, please go try it out. Wish list. It looks great.
Please do. I need money.
He needs that. All right, so I wasn't going to mention money, but you brought it up. So without going into specifics, because that's kind of an asshole move, like, give me the exact money you put in this game. How big of an investment has it been for you so far? I mean, to put this thing together and then with the Steam elements and getting that page going, has it been like a chunk of life savings? Does all of your day job money go into this project?
Yeah.
What does that look like without, you know, giving me specifics that I know how much money you put so I can make plans?
Well, actually, it's been
to
really
pay
cheap
you to make a game
personally.
For me.
Well, for me personally, it has been very cheap.
Good start.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can afford you, yes.
I am very not expensive.
Good. I love a cheap date.
Well, for me personally, the only expenses I've had were to get it on Steam, which will be refunded the moment you earn $1,000. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The moment you earn a specific amount of dollars, the amount of dollars you pay to get the game on Steam will be refunded, because it's just a way to ensure that not everything is uploaded to Steam.
Got it, yeah.
Not that it has stopped that, but, you know, still.
Helps prevent some of the garbage. Not all of it, but a good chunk of it.
Yeah. But that's the biggest expense I've ever had, and I've used a lot of free software. I paid for Game Maker, but that was back when I was about like 15, where I finally bought the full version of it, and that's it. that's it.
All right.
Right now I use Game Maker 1, and I really need to upgrade to Game Maker 2 because Game Maker 1 is kind of outdated now. But it's still working for my purposes, which are PC right now.
I'm gonna be your first investor. I'm gonna invest in the games. I'm gonna fund Game Maker 2 for you.
I would not mind.
We're gonna have a dual screens publisher credit in your next game.
Oh man, it's a deal. Yes. That's about it. That's actually it.
Right. That's actually reassuring. I feel like, you know, we've heard stories from a lot of indie devs who essentially they mortgage their houses to get their game finished, and they have all but $10 in the bank when their game goes live, and it's a whole thing. But those are, you know, grown up problems, and you're but a child who spent $1,000 to make a game and put it on Steam. And by the looks of it, you're going to get that money back and then some, because it looks phenomenal and I cannot wait for this to come out. It looks great. And with that, Peter, it's time to ask you some dumb shit. That's right. It is time for rapid fire. So I say dumb shit, but the first question I want to ask you is not really dumb. It's actually pretty serious. Because I'm always curious to see what other indie devs think about this. We've been seeing lately a lot of indie devs getting their hands on juicy, iconic IPs. You know, Dead Cells did a Castlevania DLC. We have Blooper and Annapurna and No Code working on Silent Hill games. Cadence of Hyrule, another one. So if you had the chance, if someone said to you, Peter, we want you to make a brand new entry in the fill in the blank game, what franchise would that be?
Oh. And I can choose anything?
Anything you want. This is like someone just, a genie showed up, or someone just saw your game and said, you know, we want this guy to make the next Mega Man, the next Castlevania. So,
God damn. I have so many ideas already. That's evil.
Very. So maybe, yeah. Just give me one. Give me what comes to your mind immediately?
Okay, so the first game that came to mind, the first one, like Dark Souls. Dark Souls is amazing.
Oh, man.
I love the genre and the ambience and the atmosphere and the gameplay. It's so cool. But also Diablo. And Diablo has always been part of my childhood, and that's really something I would love to make.
Sidebar, are you excited for Diablo 4?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I have not watched every single cinematic and recording I could find of it. I'm like,
I'm just really hoping it can reclaim the magic of Diablo 2, because for me that was like the peak,
exactly
the apex of that franchise. 3 I enjoyed, but bit of a letdown in some ways. I'm hoping 4 can really bring it back to the magic that it once was.
As it is right now, it actually looks like it can pull it.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for it. The graphics are amazing. The atmosphere. Oh. Great.
I just know what's the best part. I love how you chose two franchises that have semi ultra nice, polished, realistic graphics.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you could do like a nice little sprite based Dark Souls. That'd be kind of cool.
Actually, true.
That'd be kind of cool. I would pay good money for that. All right. Would you rather be the smartest person in the room or the funniest person in the room?
God damn. I'm gonna have to drink on that. Yeah. You know what? I like being smart.
You like being smart.
Yes. Okay. I like to say being like, I would love to be able to be that, you know, wise person that just sits at the end of the table, doesn't say much, but then when you speak, it's like, oh, wisdom.
Actually, it's called coyote jumping. What?
Exactly. Never heard of coyote jumping.
Would you rather eat one food that you hate once a week, and you have to eat it once a week, or would you never eat your favorite food ever again?
See, the bad food would be I have to eat wasabi. That's not really my thing.
All right, so wasabi is not your thing. What's your favorite food?
I don't have a favorite food.
What's your go-to? What's your comfort? What's when you're having the long
My comfort
is,
though is a lasagna, and it will always be lasagna.
So you can either, you have to have wasabi once a week, or you can never have lasagna again. Which
okay,
of those?
You know what? I'm going to go with the wasabi, okay?
Yep.
No one steals my lasagna. Yeah.
Is there a specific way you prepare your lasagna? because I'm a huge connoisseur of lasagna. I make it as often as I possibly can, and I try different ways, bechamel or ricotta cheese. How do you make your lasagna? How do you like your lasagna made?
I like to make everything from the ground up, except for the pasta. I do not make the pasta from the ground up because I don't know how to. But everything else, you know, the sauce, especially, I hate buying pre-made stuff for it. Like the sauce, it's just compared to when you make it homemade.
Yeah, that's like the whole, you get the pot going early in the afternoon.
It's nice. Low simmer
for like 4 or 6 hours. Yeah.
Yeah,
and the whole house smells of that delicious meat sauce.
Wow.
Fuck, I'm getting hungry. All right. I feel like I already know the answer to the next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you are what you eat, what are you? Is it a lasagna?
I believe it is.
If one of your colleagues or coworkers or loved ones received a phone call in the middle of the night, and they said, "Hello, so-and-so, I have some bad news, but Peter has been arrested and he's currently in jail and you must come bail him out. What crime did you commit?" I love the deep thought.
This is some serious questions. I need the time to think about the wise replies because I need to be.
What do you think? What crime do you think you're most likely to commit? Or you know, a silly thing you would do, and then you just get arrested for it.
God damn. Would that be to? I don't know. I consider starting watching anime, and I was like, I don't really want to pay for it.
Oh, so you have a okay. So they found your terabytes of illegally downloaded material.
That would probably be it, because that's literally the only thing I can imagine right now.
Sidebar: what is your favorite anime? What are you watching right now?
I think it's actually, of course, it's because of roguelikes, you know, it's probably Castlevania. It's so good.
I can't wait for the new season.
Oh, there's a new season?
There's going to be, well, they finished the Trevor storyline, and they're doing they're doing one based on Richter. I think it's coming out next year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please give it to me.
I'm so excited for that.
For free.
What is the dumbest way you've ever injured yourself?
Okay. So I was skiing.
Great start.
That is a good start. So me and my brother, my youngest big brother, we were both skiing together, and there was this pillar, iron pillar, and it has like this cover up to make it softer. You know, it's not that softer, but it's
right.
Better than iron, you know. And we you know, the pillar was far away. It was very easy to evade, lots of space. I wasn't that old, you know. And my brother was like, "Watch out, there's this pillar right ahead." I was like, "Okay." And I just like smacked right into the pillar.
Exactly. So like, did you think he was saying, "Hey, you should smash your face into that pillar"? Like, it's a pillar. Got it. You just like,
let's go. Yeah, that's probably the dumbest way I ever injured myself. It's just smack.
What do you think people notice the most about you when they see you for the first time? Peter enters a room.
What I've been told
is... wild Peter appears. What do I notice first?
While Peter appears, I've been told that I am a very, very, very happy person. Like, I smile and laugh a lot. So, and I 100% do. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that energy from you.
Exactly. That's definitely it.
Yeah, just flying into a pillar face first, you know, with a big shit-eating grin on your face.
Yay!
Yay!
I did what you asked.
Bodily harm. Who needs a nose?
Exactly.
Again, I think I may also know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Godstone is really, I'm going to paint the scenario for you. Godstone is released to massive critical and commercial success. It's going to happen, but we're just predicting there. Huge success. Everyone loves it. Sells a bajillion copies on Steam. And you're celebrating with an excessive amount of alcohol. What word best describes you when you're drunk?
This, but like times two and extra silly.
You're even more happy and more silly.
And I can demonstrate.
Are you gonna take a couple shots right now and then?
Oh no!
Is that what you're drinking? But...
I'm just gonna write out, bring out the alcohol. Let's go. You know, I'm basically just extra silly and very calm, actually. Mm. Like that, a lot of people who get very over energetic or aggressive or anything, I'm just sitting there like, and that's the best demonstration of me being drunk.
Oh man. All right. I'm going to ask you two more questions and then we're going to get all out right. of here. Okay.
Bring it.
Now, this one, I think you're going to have a nice, awkward, long pause after I ask you because it requires, I think, some deep thought. So I'm going to ask you the question. Okay.
My cup is ready.
And if you need to take a shot, if you need time to think, let me know. And then I'll ask you the last question, which I think would be a fast response. If you could think about some of your favorite games you've played in your throughout the course of your lifetime, if you could erase the memory of having played one of those favorite games and play it again for the first time, going in fresh and to experience the majesty and the wonder and the awe of said game for the first time, which game would that be?
I'm actually thinking about Skyrim.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I am. That had a very special effect on me. There was just some vibe about the world, and now it's still there, but it's kind of gone because I played it for a lot of hours.
Yeah, that's why it's a surprising answer. I want to redo 800 hours of the game again.
Exactly, like I would like to forget everything about it and just experience the atmosphere of that world and play through College of Winterhold for a 700th time, but without the memory of it.
All right, see, look at that. Not that much thought. You knew right away what you wanted
really
to say.
Surprisingly fast. I know. I'm very smart.
And Race, look at you. You're the smartest guy in the room. And the last thing I want to ask you is, how do you think your first podcast went?
I think it went pretty good.
Yeah, I think it went okay.
I'm gonna lie. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was actually really, really fun.
Well, thank you so much, man. It's been great having you on the show this week. You're a lot of fun to talk to. I can see why your game looks as amazing as it does. You're clearly a really passionate dude, and it shines through in the game and in you.
Thank
so
you.
You have a bright spot in this industry, I think, for years to come. If someone your
so
age
cool.
is this dedicated to making quality stuff, listeners, watch this guy. He's going to go places. All right. It all started here. Shitty little
the
podcast.
Blush is real.
All right, Peter, where can we follow you, the game? Give us all the marketing, social media, spiel, crap.
All right. You can follow me on Instagram and you can follow me on Twitter. I am known everywhere as Demented Plant. The best username ever. I tried to go for like a serious name, but
nah.
gave up. Exactly. I was like,
doesn't sound like you at all.
Exactly.
I'd something. Be mad if you had a serious name.
Exactly. Precisely. So yeah, I am known as the Minute Plan. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Reddit. I'm also on Discord. I have my own Discord community. I would love for people to join there because it's nice. And I am planning some activities on the Discord community. So it's going to be really nice. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I can also be followed on Twitch. And I am planning on starting to do Twitch streaming every Tuesday and Wednesday. So that's also something coming up.
All right.
So yeah.
And we'll throw all those links below for you guys to click, join, subscribe, follow, bother, pester, poke, and prod our friend Peter
Please
here.
Do.
Thank you so much, Peter, for coming on our show. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in this week on the Dual Screens podcast. And as always, please be excellent to each other.